Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have two very special friends with me. But before I introduce them, tonight we're whipping out the REM pods and calling on the crystals. What in the riddle are we talking about? Why, ghost stories, of course. But these are no ordinary ghost stories. We have two friends to our show telling their own haunting tales, and I am so excited. But before we get into the dark and stormy night, I want to say thank you to everyone that's hanging with me on social media, everyone rating, subscribing, reviewing, emailing, and everything in between. It's a new adventure every day getting to know you guys, and it is so incredibly exciting. Let's keep the fun going. Hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters, on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, on email at themediamatters@gmail.com, and via Courier Pigeon because, well, just because. It was a dark and stormy night and I curled up in red and red and read your ghost stories. They are so much fun to read and receive. You have no idea. It's never too late to submit your real life ghost story or stories. Jot it down, address it to themediamatters@gmail.com and press send on that little baby. Don't want to leave Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter? You can send your story via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or hello, it's me you're looking for. Call the show. That's right, my lovelies. You can leave it on the show's voicemail to be part of the action at 850-203-0118. For your written ghost stories, I will personally read and reply to your message and contact you to make arrangements for you to tell your real life story right here on The Media Matters. No pressure to be on the show. I'm happy to read it on your behalf if that's more your jam. So absolutely no pressure, no judgment, just good, clean, scary fun. For your voicemail ghost stories, make sure you call the show at 850-203-0118. Leave your name, the state you're calling from, and let the ghost story roll. These messages will be played on the air, so make sure you let me know if you would prefer that it be kept private. You can also leave a message with a review for the show, show-related questions, stories, and more. So warm up those dialing fingers and start dialing. The Patreon page is up and ready for company. That's right, you guys. What does that mean for you? As a patron to the show, you receive exclusives like early release of the weekly episodes, bonus episodes, and so much more. Check out our page at patreon.com/themediamatters and join the family for as little as $1 per month for goodies exclusively available only to our Patreon family. Let your voice be heard. Post your ratings and review of your favorite shows anywhere you listen to your podcasts. The couple of minutes it takes to leave a few words or even 5 stars really does make a huge difference. It helps podcasts move up the charts and become more visible for newcomers to see. If you haven't already done so, please make sure you leave a rating and or a review for your favorite podcasts and make sure your faves get seen. There are a few days left to enter to win. That's right, you guys. August is almost over, which means the giveaway for a personalized reading from the Marie Rose is almost over. So to enter, simply email Marie at hellomarierose@gmail.com. Include your name, 1 question not pertaining to health or legal issues. Marie will randomly select 1 friend to the show per day to win a personalized reading, and she will notify you if you've been selected and provide additional information as to how she will proceed with your reading. So do not delay. Enter now and get your reading on, because we are down to single digits in the days left in the month of August. So do not delay. With that, you guys, it is time for this week's Can't Resist Crystal. And what do we have this week? We have the one and only Angelite from the Complete Crystal Handbook by the wonderful Cassandra Eason. We're talking about Angelite, which is one of my favorite crystals. And I think I say this every single week, but this one really has helped me a lot. I mean, a lot, a lot. Some of the physical benefits. This beautiful blue stone that is, oh my God, so pretty. It is said to help with infections, healing, using sound, relief from throat inflammations, balancing the thyroid, indigestion and stomach acidity, nervous rashes, intestinal and abdominal problems, and so much more. Emotionally, it's used for channeling healing from angels via your hands and voice. It's good for any communication difficulties and weight-related problems. This little baby is great to hold when you're doing a meditation, when you want to connect with your guardian angel and you're praying for guidance from your personal deity. It acts as a psychic shield against ill wishing, but will not harm the sender. So it can be used if a nasty person is psychologically ill or deeply unhappy. a crystal that helps you speak the right words in any situation. Keep it with you if you are finding it hard not to say what you really think, but know you cannot. Make sure you give this little baby to anyone moving home to connect with their home guardian and bring blessings. This crystal does so much, so make sure you check out Cassandra Eason's book, The Complete Crystal Handbook, or energymuse.com, which is one of my favorite websites, or any other crystal information resource out there, because that's right, you guys, it is the bee's knees. With that, it is time to strap on your proton pack, dial up the Ghost Brothers, and get this party started. All right, friends, so I have a very, very special treat for you. The one, the only Lori. That means nothing to you, but let me tell you who Lori is. I have told the harrowing, haunting, just like edge of your seat, crawl under your bed stories about my teenage years when I effed around with the Ouija board. And who was there? I've referred to her as our roommate at the time, and that does not even begin to identify who she is, because Lori was family, is family. I never wanted to give her name because I had not asked her permission, but I have the one and only Lori with me tonight, and Lori has all kinds of ghost stories, but she's going to share a special one for us tonight. Lori, are you with us?
Yes, I am. The one and
I'm so excited that you're on the show. Like, I cannot even tell you. And so you guys don't know this, but it has been forever since Lori and I have seen each other. Like, life has just taken us in so many different directions, and we don't even get to talk as often as we would like to. But when we do, it's like we haven't even missed a beat, and we catch up, and it's like, you know, we just talked yesterday. Like, that's exactly what it feels like. And Lori for me is like a mom, like a sister, like an aunt, she is like the bee's knees. And I hope all of you have a Lori in your world. But if you don't, I'm gonna let you borrow mine for tonight. So
hey,
I know. So yeah. Lori, you didn't know, but you're out on loan. So so tell us one of your like creepiest stories that you can think of.
My creepiest stories. Oh my gosh. Well, the creepiest that comes to mind, and I believe you talked about this on the one of your last episodes where I called you and talked to you about that shadow figure. Yeah. And there's a whole story behind that. So I guess this is a good intro into that particular story.
Tell the story however you would like to tell it. So I think when I told it on the episode, I said it was just a very brief brief recap of what you told me, and you told me that the version you gave me was a recap as well. So tell it however you would like. Any version you tell is creepy as hell. Like, it just is. So whatever you want to divulge.
Okay, well, it started with a friend of mine. She was having some issues in her house. She lived in this really, really old farmhouse out in like the middle of nowhere. And there's only like maybe three farmhouses or something down that road. A really long story, and to try to get it to shorten up a little bit, she was having some issues. She's got two children, and at the time they were really young, and they were, toys would light up, move, mm-hmm. you know, do that whole creepy thing on their own. it's one thing when the batteries are in it and you can try to explain that away.
I can't.
It's another thing when
can you? There's no way. Listen, you're supposed to perform a certain way per the factory instructions.
And I'm one of these logical people. I've had a lot of things happen in my life, and I tried to go down the logic road first, but when you pull the batteries out and it's still going, woo, woo, woo. No, there's something wrong.
I would agree completely. That's demonic. So that's the devil's work.
yeah. We talked about this a little bit. Anyways, so she's having these issues and everything. And I decided I'll help her out. Okay. So, she picked a night where nobody was going to be home. The kids were off, with cousins, and, her husband was out of town for the weekend and what have you. So we go to her house. It's late at night, out in the middle of nowhere, cornfields. You're surrounded by them out there. And because this is out in the Midwest, and we try to clear up the energy. We try to, you know, make this a safe and sacred space, you know, kind of reclaim the house right. a little bit. And whatever negative energy, just try to clear that. So we did this whole thing. We walked around the perimeter of the house. We said prayers. We had a candle. We had, you'd mentioned bells and stuff before. So we actually had a silver bell that we used that evening in doing all of this to try to clear that energy up. Anyways, it seemed to help a little bit. And, a couple of weeks later, probably about maybe two, my mom came into town. And a little background on myself. Some of this stuff runs in my family, especially on my mom's side of the family. So we were at my place one evening when my friend is getting ready to leave to go back home. And my mom just reaches out to her and grabs her by the face and says, "The ghost in your house is after your husband."
No, mm-mm.
It's not she, and she specifically says she wants your husband.
Oh my God.
Now, I had not told my mom about this. You know, she had just gotten into town. She was staying with me for a few weeks to help out with some stuff. And so this was like, there was no pre-information going on here. So my friend is wide-eyed, like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you just said that." And of course, after we had just gone through this whole thing like 2 weeks ago. So yes, apparently there was a spirit of a woman in the house, and we tried to get background on it. The people who actually do know the original owners of the place, because it goes back a little bit, and it's the descendants of the family, were pretty tight-lipped. They didn't want to say much. So we couldn't get a lot of information.
But do you think that they had experiences as well?
I'm sure they did. There was a lot of stuff going on in that house. Besides the toys and stuff moving, making noises, there would be things that would be just, you couldn't find them. You'd set them down, you'd turn around, and instantly mm-hmm. they were gone.
Mm-hmm. No.
Type of thing. right? And figures, you know, she was telling me that every so often she'd have this dream of this figure out at the back sliding glass door that was trying to get in, and it would wake her up. So she started having these, like, you know, not quite night terrors, but she was just like, "I can't sleep." A lot of bad stuff started going on there, just a lot of negative energy building up. It was very stressful on the entire family. So one thing led to another, and they... Unfortunately, the family split up.
Oh, wow.
But you know, that happens. They moved out of the house, and it was in the transition of clearing out the house to get it ready to sell that I started helping her pack. And that leads us to the evening. And that's the phone call that I was mm-hmm. talking to you about. Her brother and myself took a truck and a trailer to load up the last of her stuff one evening. And it was late because he had to drive about an hour and a half or so after work to get to town. So we're loading up the truck and everything, and we're just about done. And both of them go back inside to make sure they got everything else taken care of. So I'm standing outside by the back porch. And like I said, it's dark. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It's surrounded by cornfields. And as I'm waiting, I get this movement that just kind of catches my eye, just outside of the periphery of the light of the back porch, along the side of where the cornfield is. And I'm, you know, I'm sitting here going, it's the light. My mind's playing tricks on me or whatever. And as I'm looking, no, it's a shadow. And it's getting closer. Mm-hmm. And it's closer. And as I realize, this shadow has almost a human form. It's just mm-hmm. tall. And my brain starts going through all the possibilities, and it's kind of eliminating all of them. And I'm like, oh, no. It's the shadow of a humanoid figure of some kind. And I'm thinking to myself, don't look, because as soon as you see it, they see you. Basic rule.
Okay. Right. Like, just, don't run up the stairs.
Don't look at it. You know, it's like the Medusa thing. If you look at it, that's it. You're dosed. You're done. But I can't help but look at it from the corner of my eye because it's actually getting a lot closer to me. And it finally gets close enough, and it's just on the periphery of the light, coming into the light just a little bit, just enough for me to tell that, no, it's not a trick of the light. It's a shadow. It's really, really. And then what would be its head actually turns and looks at me. And the only reason I know this thing had eyes and looked at me is because where the eyes would be are the black, are like the blackest things I have ever seen in my life.
God, that is like, that makes my skin crawl. Oh my gosh. I can handle a lot. I swear to Lucifer, I can, but this is a lot.
I'm standing there, and I, you know what? I can only imagine what the expression on my face might have been. I don't know why I didn't take off running, screaming, whatever.
You're a badass girl.
Because I have standards.
I will not be judged by the underworld.
Like, damn it, you are not going to make me look bad. So anyway, so I'm trying, again, not to look at it. Not that I'm being successful at this point, but trying not to make direct eye contact. And this thing keeps going, and it passes me by, and then it turns to look back in the direction that it's going. And then I see it just kind of go into the darkness and finally disappear. At this point, both of my friend and her brother come out of the house, and I must have had a look on my face, because my friend looked at me and she's just like, are you okay? I looked at her and I'm like, are you guys done? Are you done? She's like, yeah. I'm like, good. Cause I'm going to go wait in the truck.
Are you done? Cause I'm done.
I am going to be in the truck. But at that point, no sooner did I turn around and take a step that all of a sudden I hear this commotion behind me, and I turn around, and her poor brother has got like the worst nosebleed I have ever seen in my life. It's just gushing everywhere and we can't get it to stop. And it takes a while. I mean, he's shoving all kinds of stuff up there. It's just gushing. I don't know how much time it went by, but it took a while for it to actually finally get under control so that we could get in the vehicle and get out of there. And as crazy as all this sounds, we did go back one other time and set foot on the property.
I feel like I know you better than this.
I guess we just wanted to make sure that we weren't nuts. No, when we went back, we got that. We, you know, you could just feel the weight, just the negative energy of everything that was going on there. And we're like, no, it's time to go. And the interesting part about it is it was maybe about a month later, they did sell the house. And the interesting part of it is we would drive down that road because where I had moved to, the quickest way to get there from one side of town to the other town was to go right past mm-hmm. that house. So we would drive down that road. And then we noticed, sorry if you picked that up, I got like blinkies going on in the background. So we're driving down this road, and they're doing renovations to the place. They're adding like a master bath or something in the back. We did stop again and take a look. So it looked really nice. And they wound up selling it. And then before we know it, not even a month later, it's back on the market again.
What? Wait, so your friend was renting it? Was she?
No,
she sold it. And then the new owners were renovating. And then they sold it within a month.
Within about a month after it was done, I think.
They put it back on the market again. Oh, my God.
Yes. And then we noticed that somebody had moved in. And then sometime later, it was for rent. And then we noticed sometime later, it was for sale again. And somebody had bought it. And they moved in. And the next thing we know, it was for rent again. And then it was for sale again. And I think it sold because the sign was gone and it looked like somebody was there. And then the next thing we know, there's a for sale sign out in front again. And I don't remember how long it was on sale. But the next thing we know, we drove by it one day. And then we had to make a U-turn because we're like, wait a minute. I didn't see the house. It was, I think, a total, maybe a year had gone by. Maybe. We do a U-turn and we go back. And sure enough, the house was gone. They had demolished it.
Oh, it didn't disappear a la Poltergeist?
Well,
just vanished?
You know, if it did, I'm not, no. I was done going back.
Oh, my God.
That was it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they apparently, I don't know what happened to it the last go around, but all we do know is that the house is now gone. It was demolished. It was gone completely. And the last time I drove by that place, the property is still sitting empty.
Wow.
So, but yeah, whatever the dark figure was, I don't, you know, and that's the conversation that we'd had, whether it was, a demonic mm-hmm. presence, something, because it, you know, I've run into a lot of situations where you can tell there's a presence mm-hmm. in the room. You know, it's even if it's a spirit of somebody who's not happy. But this felt right. Different. And I'm getting the chills now just thinking about those eyeballs, yes. Whatever they were. I don't know, pits, black holes. I don't know. But at the same time, there was still the presence of a female spirit in the place that was unhappy as well and decided to try and attach itself mm-hmm. to somebody who was living in that house. To this day, it's one of those situations where, unfortunately, he's still dealing with it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes. Unfortunately, it's not one of those things that he really is into, doesn't mm-hmm. believe in, and things of that nature. So just kind of ignoring it. But you can tell how it's affected. And it's amazing how it can affect an individual's life. Well, I guess infect is a yes. good way of saying it. How that can attach itself to an individual and just kind of bleed into right. your life.
Wow.
So, but yes. So that's the background story on that shadow figure.
That is crazy.
I personally think that shadow figure also has a lot to do with what's going on, maybe with the spirit mm-hmm. of that woman that was there.
Do you think it has trapped her in some way, or is creating an environment for her where she feels like she can't go, or she feels like she's being pressured to attach? Or do you think like this shadow figure is influencing her in some way to want to be part of this person, this human, this physical being?
You know, the impression that I get is, you know, even when we cross over into the spirit world, we don't lose who right. we really are. For someone to be that adamant to hang on to somebody, it's either out of mm-hmm. desperation or it's out of some a negative energy in and of itself. Maybe that person was like that in life and is now like that. Now that she's crossed over, she still has, you know, I don't want to call it entitled to, but it's not a night. It's a negative feeling. So the shadow figure might be amplifying that, or it's just maybe too much pent up negative energy. And it has maybe a part to play. But unfortunately, I think whoever this female is, it's also part of her own making. And that's what I get.
Okay. So do you think she is, you do believe she's someone that crossed over, right?
Okay. The female, yes.
Unlike the shadow that is, you know, when you and I had spoken, you were trying to identify or decide what you could at least like categorize it as, because it was so different and vile and blech, just so negative. And I have referred to, I have talked about seeing a demon, encountering a demon, and that is what sparked our conversation. Is, you know, you heard that and asked the background on why I identified this being as a demon, and I explained that. And so it sounds a lot like, you know, that same kind of energy, and that just there's something very dark and malicious and just hasn't inhabited a human form before, and is just very, oh God, I don't even know. Like, there's so many things I want to say and nothing's coming out, but it's just,
right.
It's, you not know, of this world, and or I'm not kind of, yeah.
No. So, you know, and I'm kind of a, I guess I'm kind of a geek when it comes to certain things, because I looked into and I researched a lot of different things, and it includes religious aspects of it. So, you know, what we would consider a demon is something in some religions. It's not quite, it's not what we'd think as like a fallen angel type of thing, because an angel, after all, is still an angel, whether they fell or not. And then you have humans, and then you have this thing in the middle, which wasn't meant to be created. So, you know, I've looked into aspects of that as well. And never could quite put this thing in a category. So yeah, that's why I called you. I was like, well, let me get your take on it.
I was like, I gotta go.
Yeah, we're done here. Talk to you in another 10 years.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that story. I know our friends to the show are very excited to hear that and to finally meet the one and only Lori, who has gone by the roommate all this time, because I didn't want to put too much into your identity without talking to you first. So I am super excited that you finally made it onto an episode of the show. And you guys, to hear more about one of my all-time favorite people in the whole wide universe, make sure you check out the Patreon page for The Media Matters, because that is where Lori's entire story is. And we're going to talk more about our Ouija playing days with Lori's sister and all of the ridiculousness that we got into. But yeah, so please make sure that you check out the Patreon page so you can hear the entire episode where Lori talks about so much more, her background, where she started, her family's history, and where she is now, because it is mega cool. Lori, thank you again so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
It is my pleasure.
Up next, we have the lovely, the wonderful, the magical friend to the show. It's the one and only Shay. So Shay and I became friends on Instagram, and we communicate, I think, every single day. She is so kind and generous and thoughtful and funny, and I am so excited that we got the chance to do this. So here we go. Let's hear it from Shay.
So, when my husband and I were first married, I became a mom, like, all of a sudden, to three stepdaughters. And they were, like, well-cooked. So, you know, I had one that was 6, 8, and 17 or something.
Oh, wow.
And he had to go on a business trip. And I'm just, like, I'm looking at him like, I don't know that I can do this by myself. Like, what's happening? So I had my friend Carla come over. Carla has been my friend for now 15 years. Okay. And weird stuff seems to follow her just in general. But when she and I get together, it's like magnify the weird.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously magnify the weird. So we're sitting here one night, and this was the first night that it started. And as long as I had known her, she has never been clairvoyant. Like, she hasn't been able to see anything. Like, she's obsessed as hell with, like, ghost tours and haunted places and things like that. But she's never been able to see anything. So I'm sitting on my sofa, and we have the lights out, and we're watching TV. And she looks at me. She goes, so I'm watching this guy just walk, like, right through your living room, right past me, and just went right around me and into the bedroom. And I was like, oh, hell no.
That's no. Crazy.
So I asked my husband. I was like, okay, you got to give me the lowdown on this house. Like, what's up? He goes, well, you know, the neighbor said that there's, like, somebody that was a little disturbed that lived over here. And I was like, damn it, now I got to tap into that.
A little disturbed.
Well, so what me and my other friends of our psychic friend network have picked up from my house is that there is a youngish gentleman ghost that's here, and that we think that he died by hanging himself.
Oh, God.
And then there is an older gentleman here, somewhere 70s maybe, and he's really kind of grumpy, but he's attached to the house. Like, they're both attached to the house, but the grumpy guy is like, you know, like, I'm just attached to the house. And they exist in the same space. And I think that the young kid is here because he committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Around this house, in this house, something, or came back to this house afterwards.
That's so sad.
Yeah. And I have an agreement with any house that I move into that has a spirit in it. If you mess with me or my guests, my invited guests, now children, or my pets, I will send you to God faster than you lost your life. I mean, it will be so fast. Just don't even play me that way. So I made that agreement with these two people that lived here, and I said, do not freak me out. Do not freak out my kids. Don't go and, like, whisper things in my kid's ear, because I will rain down, like, all of holy everything upon you. And you will be taken out so fast that you will not even know what happened to you. And I said, so that's our deal, and you don't mess with my animals. You don't, please don't freak me out, because if you freak me out, I'll send mm-hmm. you to Jesus, like, fast.
And that's awesome that you set those boundaries, because, I mean, we talk about it so much on the show. I feel it's incredibly important. You do have the power and the authority to do that.
Yes. And so, like, it's kind of scared, like, the younger kid that lives here, because I think he may, it feels like he has some belief systems that, you know, I killed myself and maybe I'm not going to be welcome. So, but I'm like, look, I welcome you guys here, but let's make that deal. Don't mess with anything, but please protect this place and protect, you know, protect it when we're not here. And then I said, that being said, if I am not home and somebody tries to break in, I expect all kinds of poltergeist chaos to happen upon whatever is breaking into my home. I'm talking, I want chairs flying and pictures flying off the wall.
I want the Hollywood works.
I do. I want, like, chairs on the dining room table when I get back. I just want to be like, oh, what happened in here? Thanks, right. Fellas. You know? I want burglars knocked out laying on the floor.
That's right. Know? That's right.
So that's our agreement. That being said, too, Carla and I, one night I had a really bad migraine, and it was just going all night. So I ended up, took the kids to school. I was not working at the time, except for, like, a little bit. I took the kids to school, and I came back. I said, you know what? I'm going to go lay down. And she was like, okay. And I said, just, you know, watch the dog. So I hear her open the door to let the dog out. Well, there's something in the grass that makes his feet break out. So I was like, oh, I need to get up. So I got up and I went in the kitchen. I said, you know, we need to wipe his feet down. And I came back in the bedroom and I pulled the covers back. I mean, I was laying in the bed just 10 seconds prior, you know, and I pulled the covers back and there was a rose quartz marble, boom, laying right where I had been laying.
Mm-mm.
And I'm like, huh? I was like, well, maybe Raja found one, my cat, and maybe he found one and was in that silver bowl, but I was like, that don't make no sense. But weirder things have happened, and maybe he did figure it out because he's a smart cat. So then I moved my pillow, and there was a lapis tumbled stone under my pillow. And I went, what the heck? So I pulled out my crystal book, and I was like, well, let me look at all the things that lapis takes care of. Migraines.
No kidding.
No kidding. Under my pillow.
Oh, my God. Thank you, universe.
Yes. And I was like, okay, I'm paying attention now. Okay, I'm listening. So then I go, I went to work, and I came home, and it was just like a little part-time thing. And I went to work, and I came home, and I was talking to Carla in the kitchen, just like, hey, what's going on today? What happened, you know, while I wasn't here? And she's like, oh, nothing. And then all of a sudden, I look out of the corner of my eye in the kitchen, and my cat is rolling an adventuring sphere across the kitchen floor. And I'm like, Raja, stop taking my little things out of the thing, you know, and I'm not knowing he cannot reach. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that is so weird. And then Carla went to step backwards and she stepped on one, a different one. And I'm like, what the hell?
So they're just being scattered all throughout the house.
They're all over the house every day. So finally I was like, okay, that's it. I'm going to move the bowl. So I showed you where it is. It's on top of this thing now. I moved it from one bookcase to way on top of another. Cat never in a million years can get up there because he was fat. So so the next day I come in the door picking up the kids from school. And one rolls across and hits the door. And then there's one.
Oh, my God.
And then so now Carla and I are like, oh, my gosh, this is crazy. So I'm setting them to the side and I'm counting them. 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, and I'm counting them. So before we go to bed, it's become a joke now. So before we go to bed, we sweep the house. They're nowhere, right? So I go to brush my teeth, and I'm brushing my teeth. And then we have just swept the house. They are nowhere. And I go, okay, well, let me just walk in the closet one more time, one more sweep while I'm brushing my teeth. 3 rocks laying in my closet. No effing way.
That's crazy.
Now, at that time, she's already laid in the bed. We were just sharing a bed. By that time, she's already laying in the bed, and we're talking, and we're laughing about it. And I counted them, and I put them in a bag, like, separate. And there was, like, 20-something or whatever. And I pulled the drawstring on the bag, and I tied it. And I laid it on the bed right next to, like, kind of next to her, behind her, like, in the middle of the bed. And then I go back into the bathroom. And then when I come back out, Carla rolls over and she goes, no. And she pulls one out and she goes, this fell out of the bag. It had to have fallen out of the bag. And I just laughed and I said, there's no way it fell out of the bag. I opened the bag. We counted them again. No, it was a new one.
Wow.
And then every morning I would go and start to make my bed. And then my foot would just, you know how your foot kind of goes under the bed just a little bit? Like at about that time you're ready for like the climb. Grab your ankle and drag you under. So my foot would go under just a little bit. And sure enough, it was always on my side of the bed. And I would always kick another rock or there would be another stone under there or something crazy. And it was always on my side of the bed. So.
But only when you were with Carla.
Yeah, but only when I was with Carla. So when Carla was getting ready to leave, it was her last day here. So she says, well, whatever it is for you, because I didn't get any of those rocks at all. So she's in the bathroom and she's putting on her makeup and she turns around. And she goes, no. And she pointed to under the bed on her side. There. Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, well, this is yours. You have to take it home with you because they're gifting it to you. So it's yours.
Wow.
So I gave it to her. Then she's like, have you seen my eyeliner? I'm like, no. I mean, that could have totally been a cat. And I'm like, nope. So she unpacks her bag. She looks all through her makeup bag. And she's like, well, I can't find it. I said, well, you know, if one of the cats got it, not a problem. I'll bring it to you. No big deal. She gets home. She unpacks her bag. And in the bottom of her suitcase was another rock and her eyeliner.
Oh, my God. Nope. Mm-mm.
Yep. And right before she left, too. So when my husband and I got married, we had these, they're heart-shaped rocks, and they're probably about the size of.
Oh, those are pretty.
palm of your hand, right? So I carried one and he carried one, and I asked him which one he wanted to carry, and he chose the quartz one. That one, on the last day before Carla left, was on the floor under my bed. And these suckers are heavy. You hear that?
Yeah.
They're not light. They're heavy. And I was like,
that's crazy.
Cat didn't do that.
That's crazy.
And then every time she came over, it would just be like a small, like I have some really tiny crystals that are like this big. They sit in a very specific place on my bookcase, and I pass it every time coming out of my bathroom or something. And I would look and I would go, right, missing. And it would either hang in the middle of my bed or on the floor. And one time it was like on the, like right next to the baseboard. And I'm like, okay, that's not funny. Cause those, I'll lose those. And if you guys are playing around with me and you lose my rocks, then you're going to go to Jesus.
Going to be hell to pay.
Exactly.
Oh my God. That's crazy. So this stuff, does it still happen when Carla is around?
Well, funny you should say that. Yes, it does. She came back. Every time she came back, like something would happen. So one day she was here and we were getting ready to go somewhere. And when you walk into my bedroom, I have a couple of pictures, and I always hit one with my shoulder and it goes cattywampus. And I'm like, whatever, I'll fix it later. So we were walking out of the bedroom and she's like, oh, we should fix your picture. I was like, yeah, I think I hit it when I come in. I didn't remember hitting it, but I was going to say, oh, I guess I must have. Weird, you know, I'm getting old. I walk out into the living room and I had my hell no moment. I had my, oh my God, I don't know. So I think it was something that came in with Carla, because my ghosts know their limits. I walk out into my living room. Every single picture on my wall.
No.
Crooked.
No. Nope.
Yes.
Not okay, guys. Not okay.
No. It was not okay at all. You want to talk about somebody freaking out? I flipped the F out. And then I have a goddess metal candle holder. Like, it's heavy. Like, and you put like a votive candle in it and it's tall. It was laying on its side. My candlesticks were laying on their side. Mm-mm. And like, hell to the F to the no.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Absolutely effing not. And I laid down my rules again. I was like, you will not come into my home and move my stuff.
Yep.
This is not allowed. You do not get to touch my things. The next time you touch one of my things and it is not to scare out a burglar, I will send you to Jesus.
Express train.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. No. So,
I try to be like brave, like I'm brave in those moments. But the reason that I get so angry, because we all know anger comes from fear. So,
right.
You know, like, who you kidding, Shay? Who you kidding?
No, I'm with you.
Oh my God, I can't see you and you're in my house right now.
I am totally with you. And I have to say, I get the same way. Like, there's this moment of fear and then like I'm pissed.
Yes.
And I'm really happy that that's my response now, because for a very long time it wasn't. I would like become paralyzed with fear and no more. Now I'm like, what? No. You have to go like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. Excuse me. Stop staring at me. I'd like to go back to sleep. Yeah. Thank you for the
way. You're welcome.
Well, I always tell them, I'm like, you're not allowed in my room because I do have to sleep.
So, yes. I say the same thing. I'm like, this is my space and you need to be out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Agreed.
So, we exist here with the fellas that are here, and we have a dining room table, and it's ugly as everything, but it was one, I think, that my mother-in-law gave my husband at one point in time in his life, but it is country and it is old. And I'm like, dear Jesus, you got to go. But you can hear it pop because we have the leaf in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
When you sit down on either end of it, because the leg is in the middle and it's an oval table. So you know how that is, where it has the pedestal kind of in the middle. And if you sit at either one of the ends where it's not really supported by that pedestal, you'll hear it kind of, make a creaking sound. And sure enough, every night, sometimes randomly in the morning, you will hear it make that noise.
Wow.
So you know that someone's sitting there. And it's probably my old dude. He's probably drinking brown water and smoking a cigar, but yeah.
Crazy. Oh my God. Yeah. That is crazy. Well, what were you going to say?
But I'm like, hey.
I know. If you could just stay over there, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, that is incredibly creepy. I'm so happy that you shared all of that. And really, really, I think the thing I'm happiest about the most is that you know how to handle it and you are very confident in your in the steps that you take and how I don't want to say it's not forceful, the word I'm looking for, but you're very
stern.
There you go. Very stern with your message and setting your boundaries. So I'm so happy that you do that and that you practice that. And I hope that never ends because everybody has the right to do that. Everybody.
Yeah. You know, and it's really important too. And sometimes, and I'm seeing it a lot more, and it's very, I don't know. It's distressing to me, and I'm not really sure if, I don't know how you feel about it or if you've ever been told to, but we all know that, you know, drinking and doing drugs and things like that, it lowers your vibration and it makes you the things that cling on and do all this kind of stuff. And I'm noticing, you know, in the metaphysical worlds and the, this kind of area, that more and more people are drinking and going on ghost tours. They're drinking, they're doing, you know, tarot reads or whatever, and, you know, marijuana and things like that are really popular. While yes, they might get you a little bit more relaxed to get you past whatever, you know, I don't know, whatever hesitations you have, it's just not a good practice. And it's making me sad that I'm seeing that more and more, and people are not being cautious with that.
Right.
You know, I'm all for having a glass of wine, but leave it for after your spiritual session.
Agree.
You know, leave it for after you've given your friends your messages or you've done your ghost tour, you know, leave it for after. So, cause I'm very, very big on protection. And I think that's something that really resonates with me when you and Marie Rose are talking, because you guys are really big on protection too. And you're serious all the time about it. You don't know what's out there because it can fool you.
Yes.
And it can.
It very much can. And that for sure came from our teacher, and she pushes it every time we're together. Yep. And I'm so grateful because, I mean, had I known that before when I was like, you know, 14, 15.
I've had my own incidents with
those. Right. So, it is important. It's super important. And I'm glad that you said that and that it, you know, it's something that stands out for you. And I hope that it does for everybody else, because that is absolutely, I mean, right after, make sure that you lead with love. I would say it would be responsible and don't experiment. Don't meddle. Yeah. Don't, you know,
don't drink and divine.
Yeah. Don't play with things. Don't experiment. It's too dangerous. Like, you need to be with someone, work with someone that knows what they're doing. So I'm totally with you.
Yep. And I, you know, and it's sad too, because I have a friend who is just starting her mediumship training. That's what she's feeling, you know, being led to do. And she went and she, you know, took some classes at this shop and things like that. And the teacher was like, there's no such thing as evil spirits. And I was like, okay, she's a dumbass. I was like, that's just being dumb. Straight up dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So I always, my friends always tell me that I'm the spiritual bubble popper, because I am. I'm like, oh, okay, Glinda the Good Witch, let me come to the dark side. Let me show you what's really.
You're like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah, you're sweet. How long
have you been doing this? That's cute. All right. Well, Shay, thank you so much for sharing those stories. That is incredibly creepy. I, like I said, I'm really glad that you know how to protect yourself and you're so adamant about it. Yeah. So for everyone that is listening, please make sure that you follow our friend's lead and you protect, and you're very responsible. Don't play with things that you don't know about. And even if you know about it, don't play with it. Be safe. Always be safe. All right. So that is our time with Shay. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing your ghost story. And we're going to have you on another episode to share your full on story. So everybody stay tuned for that. Friends, that's our episode on ghost stories from our friends. We hope you enjoyed this creepy content as much as we did. Thank you again for joining us for another Can't Miss episode and tuning in week after week. We love you guys so much. Don't forget to hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters and on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, where I show you even more love. Want to be part of the inner circle? Join the Media Matters on Patreon for all the exclusive fun like bonus episodes and so much more. Check out our page at patreon.com/themediamatters and make sure you subscribe today for as little as $1 per month. Are you feeling spooky? Send your real life ghost stories to themediamatters@gmail.com via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or leave your ghost story on the show's voicemail at 850-203-0118. And remember, your voicemail will be played on the air, so make sure you let me know if you would prefer that it be kept private. There are a few days left in the month of August, and if you want a personalized tarot reading from the Marie Rose, you better submit right now. Be sure to send your question to marie@hellomarierose@gmail.com before the month of August is out for your chance to be selected for a very personalized and very special reading from our resident Marie. Are you liking the show? Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review this and other podcasts you're loving. Your ratings and reviews help support the show and makes it easier for others to find your faves. With that, you guys, it is a wrap. We're back next week with an all-new episode of The Media Matters. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. Good night, you guys.